Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Daivishesha Gunamayi. Mama Maya Dudachaya. Mamme Vaye Prapatyante. Mayamitam tarantite. Daivishesha Gunamayi. Mama Maya Dudachaya. Mame Vaye Prapatyante. Mayamitam tadantite. Daivishesha Gunamayi. Mama Maya Durachaya. Mame Vaye Prapatyante. Mayamitam Tadantite. Yes, please chant. Please. Translation to this verse is like this. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Now Srila Prabhupada explains a little bit about the different energies of the Lord and how they work. He says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies. And all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of his energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord. But due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nityabhata, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult. Even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature. Due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the constructions and destructions of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows. Mayang tu prakritim vidyan mayinam tu maheshwaram. Although Maya is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead. This is nice, isn't it? Although Maya is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. A very long purport. Srila Prabhupada will continue to speak about the living entity's conditioned nature. He says the living entity is like a prisoner who is bound by the hands and is not able to free himself by his own potency, but someone who is free can free the prisoner. That, and he speaks in this connection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his bona fide representative, the Spiritual Master. These two are the only free entities in this world who can deliver us from the handcuffs of material energy. He speaks about this. So, only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, he alone can give release to the conditioned souls. This is the subject matter of the rest of the purport. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Om Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Taskatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhara Vasadi Gopakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Ram Hare Krishna. So welcome all of you to this festival, which is organized for the pleasure of Lord Nityananda, whose Divine Appearance Day we celebrate on Tuesday. This festival has also a theme. This year, the organizers of the festival have said that theme should be the Holy Name. And they have chosen this subject, the Holy Name, I believe because there is also a birthday child who is celebrated, in this festival we will present to the devotee community two books which are centered about the Holy Name. We will do this tomorrow during our Naam Yakya, which starts already at 5 o'clock in the evening, I hear, with a working sound system, most probably. At this moment we start very small, so, but more will come. The idea is that in this festival we want to celebrate a wonderful new beginning in spiritual life. For me personally, who is one of the organizers of this festival, I feel very slowly, it's not yet completely there, my own personal new life starts, centered around the Holy Name. And I do hope that devotees who come to this festival and who listen to the tapes and the CD and MP3 recordings will also find in their heart the desire to start a new life in their Krishna consciousness. I'm saying new life because when you are on a journey, then while you are traveling, you always see something new. It's normal for a devotee who progresses on his path in Krishna consciousness to see new stations in his life. Rupa Goswami describes this journey as a journey from initial faith, Shraddha, to steady faith, and then to love. Just like a journey is never stagnant, also the spiritual journey or spiritual progress is always ecstatic and dynamic. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is ultimately a fascinating journey with many, many surprises and interesting stations on the way as we slowly progress. Here in this verse, it is said that this journey is not very easy because we have to more or less overcome the heavy influence of the material energy which tries to keep us at the station where we are. We have to overcome Maya's throwing Shakti and Maya's covering Shakti. Maya throws the living entity down into some species, and then she covers the Shit Shakti or the knowledge Shakti of the living entity with her heavy, heavy influence. So someone who wishes to make this journey of Krishna consciousness a success will have to overcome the influences of Maya, and that's not easy. Krishna says it's duratyaya, very difficult. Duratyaya means really impossible. If you travel on your own, it is possible if you take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet and at the lotus feet of his representative, the spiritual master. Krishna can liberate the living entity. He can pull back his covering energy, and he can tell Maya, please leave him alone, don't throw him any longer into the material illusion. This is possible by Krishna's mercy. Also, when we approach a bona fide representative of Krishna, the spiritual master, he can actually help us overcome our obstacles. And I have found a quotation which I want to read to you. It was actually one of my godbrothers, Krishnadas, a very refined person. He was a goldsmith before he entered Krishna consciousness. And he opened the temple in Hamburg. Oh, if you know Hamburg, it's cold and it's very, very, very rough and tough material atmosphere. And he really felt in Hamburg, being such a refined gentleman, that it was very difficult for him to progress. He felt so ausgesaugt, if you know what this is. In Yugoslavian language, it's a zirpate, zirp, or whatever. You know, so sucked out. And therefore he couldn't really find any enthusiasm. He only saw stumbling blocks. And then Prabhupada, he turned to Prabhupada very miserably and said, Prabhupada, I'm feeling so much in Maya. My journey seems to be so difficult. And then Prabhupada wrote him back. This is in 1972, on the 9th of September. My dear Krishnadas, you mentioned that your pathway has become filled with stumbling blocks. But there are no stumbling blocks. I can kick out all those stumbling blocks immediately, provided you accept my guidance. With one stroke of my kick, oops, I mean, this is what Prabhupada wrote. I will better keep my leg inside here. With one stroke of my kick, I can kick out all stumbling blocks. I think we understand from what logic Prabhupada uses here. Representative of Krishna is for the Hare Krishna, Madhava Hari. You are taking Krishna away from us. Hari Bol. A representative of Krishna carries the personal potency, the chikchakti of the Lord with him. He's a torchbearer, so to say, for those disciples who accept him and who accept his help. And then, by the transmission of that powerful energy, the obstacles in devotion service can be easily removed and taken away. That's what Srila Prabhupada says. So only two entities in this world are able to do this for us: Krishna and the spiritual master. In this connection, I remember a very interesting personality who has captured my personal interest in since a long, long time. His name is Madhusudan Saraswati. Don't know if you have heard about him. He is one of the great, great acharyas of the Advaita school. Now, normally, when a devotee hears the word Advaita, he's afraid because this word is so powerful that it can wash away the tilak from his forehead. It is the impersonalistic school. Huh? He doesn't like to hear this. But Madhusudan Saraswati, who wrote, who's really, you can't imagine how renowned he is. He wrote Advaita City. That's really the perfection of Advaita. Now, in this book, he has argued so strongly for Advaita, but in the midst of his work appears a very interesting shloka, which has bewildered all the Mayavadis since time immemorial. I mean, since he's from the 16th century, or 15th century, 15th, 16th. In this shloka, he writes, "I know of no higher reality than Lord Krishna." Krishna is dressed in a yellow dhoti. His lips have the color of the red bimba fruit. His bodily complexion is as beautiful as a rain cloud, heavy with rain, the rain of his mercy. And he continues his composition that even Bhaktas have chanted this verse since time immemorial. I mean, since a long time, not time immemorial. He's from the, as I said, 15th, 16th century. So what happened with Madhusudan Saraswati, who was a poor impersonalist, bound by the modes of material nature, and who had no relationship to the Lord of this material world, Lord Krishna? Listen very carefully to Madhusudan Saraswati's amazing history. He had once, near the Yamuna, given a lecture on impersonalism. He had recited his Advaita Siddhi. Now, in the midst of his lecture program, it was about, I guess, 14 days. So in the midst of it, after 7 days, an old disheveled monk appeared. Disheveled means his hair was going all over, and he was really very, very, very erratic. And he would purposefully laugh during his lecture. He would joke with his neighbors and just interrupt the lecture from time to time. You must know Madhusudan Saraswati was the single most upholder of Shankara's line. He was the greatest impersonalist at that time, and no one could actually, no one had ever interrupted him. So Madhusudan Das Saraswati thought this person to be a great disturbance, and he was just about to have him evicted from his lecture when he had a second thought, and he sat down with him and asked the monk, "Why do you insist on interrupting this discourse, this lecture?" And the monk just laughed. He was very old and long hair and old cloth. And he said, "Because you cannot know the absolute truth by your intelligence, you cannot know him by your words, and your mind cannot understand him. He can only be understood by direct perception." Madhusudan Saraswati understood at this moment, this was not a crackpot. Do you understand what crackpot means? It means a person whose mind doesn't work properly. This was a person who was deeply absorbed in knowledge. So he said, in answer to this, "Well, if you say that words and intellect and the mind cannot understand, but only a direct perception can understand, can you help me to realize God?" And the old man said, "Follow me." And he started to playfully run to the Yamuna. And when he came to the Yamuna, he turned around and was no longer an old monk, but the beautiful Lord of the Gopis, the Lord of Vrindavan, Krishna. In Vrindavan, the devotees tell you that Krishna often comes in disguise, and then if he pleases, reveals himself to the eyes of his devotees. Like, for instance, when he came as an ordinary cowherd boy to the vision of Madhavendra Puri and gave him a milk pot, and later showed him that he is a Lord Gopal. So Advaita, this Madhusudan Saraswati, who had seen the direct revelation of Lord Krishna, could actually understand, my Lord has revealed himself to me. I have perceived him as he is, full of bliss, and I have similarly become enthused and blissful by the contact. So Madhusudan then made camp at the Yamuna. He became a Krishna Bhakta, and from his poesy it is obvious that he saw Lord Krishna running at the Yamuna with his cows every day. Krishna. So my dear devotees, this is a very important thing, I feel. Krishna can be understood only if he chooses to reveal himself to a devotee. Krishna can't be understood just by words. He can't be understood by much hearing. You can only move a little up and down in the gunas by hearing a lot. Krishna becomes attracted to a devotee whose heart has melted by the service attitude, and then he may reveal himself. Krishna has Prabhupada once surprised all of us, all his when there was one of my god brothers who just wanted to know, Prabhupada, how does Krishna look like? And Prabhupada showed at the picture of Krishna and said, and when you see him, he looks much different. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains something which is actually not to be heard by those of a Kanishtha mentality, that is a beginner's attitude. He said the absolute, that Krishna is beyond the literal meaning of the Vedas. I will not explain it because I might bewilder some of you, but those who are interested in philosophy will have a lot to think now about this sentence. See, Krishna is beyond your concepts of Krishna. Krishna is the one who reveals himself to those who are absorbed in a service attitude. He may reveal himself after a short time or after a long time. That's entirely up to him. There's this beautiful narration of Bilva Mangala Thakur, who is a blind man. When he enters Vrindavan, he is actually led to Vrindavan by Lord Krishna himself, but he can't see him because he is in two ways blind, spiritually blind, and he's also not able to see form. So Krishna, as Bilva Mangala Thakur, on the hand and pulls him all the time to Vrindavan. When they have reached Vrindavan, he just breaks the bond and he starts to move away from Bilva Mangala Thakur. And at this moment, Bilva Mangala Thakur realizes that the little boy who had guided him all the way and whom he thought to be an ordinary cowherd boy is the Supreme Lord Krishna. And he prays in the Krishna Kanamrita, that my Lord, you have ripped yourself from my hand. You have torn yourself away from my hand. You have escaped the grip of my hand, but just try to do one thing. Try to escape my heart, and you will find out it's not possible. I have imprisoned you. He's praying like this, a very, very nice prayer, which similar ways many Vaishnavas have prayed to Krishna. You may be gone, but not from my heart. So what I wish to express with these things is that in bhakti, everything is dependent on the revelation of Krishna. And also of Krishna's devotees. We are thinking like this in bhakti, that we are bound, we are blind, we are unable to walk on our own. We need the help of Lord Krishna and his devotees to walk in great happiness on our spiritual path. So this festival, Nityananda's festival, or the festival of the Holy Name, as we have called it this time, is meant to bring some serious concepts of bhakti into our awareness. It is meant to help us to associate together as sincere devotees searching for Lord Krishna. This festival is meant also to draw our attention very much to the service attitude in which we can approach the Lord. It's a fascinating journey, the journey of Krishna consciousness. We have been called to do this journey, and we have said yes to this invitation of the Lord. We are now moving on our path. But it's time for us to realize we need the strength given from Lord Krishna and his devotees, so that this, this covering of our pure spiritual energy is removed, and we can see the light of love guiding us into the kingdom of love. Yeah? I'm very excited. I'm very much looking forward to see so many of the devotees. I've heard many will come. I'm a little bit excited. It's a little bit also the re-entry into my life as a preacher. I did of course last week a intense tour, and also I went to Germany, but these are all not yet. I'm just preparing myself. You will see there will be some surprises when I come back from America and Russia, which I will announce then, some new news. But yes, I'm just at the moment just very glad to see the devotees. I hope you will all have a good time. Hope that your devotional hopes will be more than fulfilled. The Holy Name is very merciful to you, Krishna. Do you have any questions to what you have heard? Any good questions? Govindanandan. What is the difference between spirituality and religion? I would say spirituality is like the ground of the ocean, and religiosity are like the waves of the ocean. The ocean has two dimensions, an external and an internal dimension. On the external level, there are many religions who are different from each other, but they all have a nucleus, something internal, which they all share in common if they are bona fide religions, and that's a spiritual experience, something which is internal, something which doesn't have to do with the differences of language, customs, liturgy, means of worship, languages and concepts. Spirituality then, I would say, is the direct experience of God, which always leaves the individual as a transformed entity. Religion is not always a direct experience of God, and it does not always change the individual. There have been many so-called religious wars. I always say there is not one actual religious war in the mankind. Spirituality's direct experience, that's very important. Religion also always is, or often is something like a dogma. Madhavananda. Arjuna never acted like an officially instituted guru in the parampara, like Narada Muni or Shukadev Goswami. He's a dear friend of Lord Krishna, who rested with Krishna, who played with Krishna, who joked with Krishna. I always like to tell this, tell the devotee, but he's not a guru like Madhvacharya and so on. He's in another. When Narada Muni came to Dwaraka, he looked for Krishna but couldn't find him. He looked all over. Finally he arrived in one palace, and also after looking all over the palace he couldn't find him, so he went into the sleeping room and there he found Krishna lying on a bed with Arjuna. Friends. And Arjuna had the lotus feet of Krishna on his chest, like this, and slept. And Krishna had the lotus feet of his dear devotee on his chest, and also slept. When Narada Muni tried to go out of the, leave the sleeping room, because he felt it's so confidential, he heard a million voices. He turned around, listened closer, and all these voices chanted, Krishna, Krishna. What did he see? From where did these voices come? They came from the pores of Arjuna. All the pores of Arjuna, billions of pores, chanted Hare Krishna, more than 16 rounds, Madhavananda. All the time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And so he just wanted to go, but then he heard another chorus, a chorus of a billion or trillion voices. These voices were chanting, Arjuna, Arjuna, Arjuna. And when he turned around, to find out from where these voices came, he saw they were coming from the pores of Krishna's body. Krishna's pores chanted the names of his devotee. This is how close they were. But still Arjuna in the Gita felt that, oh my Lord, please forgive me the times when I was so intimate with you that we slept at the same bed. In the same bed. Please excuse me for being so informal with you. Says like this. And what Sampradaya Arjuna learned? I know that the priest whom they accepted was Domya. But if any one of you knows about the line, I'm at the moment not. In which line Krishna is? Krishna is the originator of all lines. He says that I gave this imperishable knowledge to Ikshvaku, not to Vivashvan, and from there it goes to Ikshvaku and so on. He's God. I mean, you know, but it's nice to say it. Sorry, please do not look at the bottle. It's not a very good thermos, but it is something. Anyone else? Gaura, Hari.
You were mentioning that we can overcome the influence of Maya by surrendering to Guru or surrendering to Krishna. My question is, surrendering doesn't look so easy to perform. And what is the best way we can do to surrender to Guru and to surrender to Krishna?
I have asked for many, 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 many years, how can I surrender to Guru and Krishna? And I have found their addresses very far away. I have understood such a long journey to reach them. Then, with tears of desperation in my eyes, I prayed and I understood. Krishna has appeared in this age of Kali as the most merciful incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also the perfect sadhu, the perfect guru, the perfect teacher. But he has no condition. He just accepts everyone. Who just chants Nitai Chaitanya, Nitai Chaitanya, Nitai Chaitanya, Nitai, Nitai Chaitanya, Nitai Chaitanya, Nitai Chaitanya, Nitai, Nitai Chaitanya, Nitai Chaitanya, Nitai Chaitanya, Nitai. Hare Krishna. The only thing he expects is a humble heart, free from pretense, and free from the tendency to criticize Vaishnavas. That's all. Now, if I am asked by an intellectual non-believer or a modern devotee who has not gone deep into spiritual experience as of yet, to explain my confidence to him, or why I'm so confident, then I would say to that person, please, for a moment, my dear person, move behind the meaning of words. For a moment, enter into the realm of deep contemplation, and you will find out that God will always come to those who have a humble heart, and who trust in His mercy. But the trust in the mercy is very important. When someone has Shraddha, he is qualified for bhakti. So who would not have faith in Gauranga Mahaprabhu if he hears about his leelas? Especially how he liberated Vasudeva the leper. See, he had come to Koma Chetra Gaurahari. He was as a traveling sannyasi, accustomed to leave his place where he stayed overnight before 7 o'clock in the morning. He would travel early. So after he had done his business in Koma Chetra, he continued to travel further on. Vasudeva, however, a poor leper, had heard that he was in Koma Chetra. And although Vasudev was virtually incapable of moving because of the open wounds which were full of worms who lived in them, Vasudev had somehow made an effort to come to Koma Chetra, but he came too late. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left already because he left very early and he had gone. So Vasudev was very, very, very sad and he fainted. He had traveled all this way. He had practically killed himself in the process. It was so painful to walk even with these open wounds. Now the Lord was gone. But as he had fainted, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back because he is sitting in the heart of all living entities. He came back and he awoke Vasudev the leper by his sweet fragrance which was coming from his body. And when Vasudev got up and looked, he saw the golden Lord. And the Lord embraced him. And in his divine embrace, Vasudev lost again his consciousness. When he came up from that embrace, he could see that his body had been healed from all the diseases. Vasudev, however, was not satisfied. Vasudev felt, now I can identify with this body. When it was sick, I was not identifying with the body. But now the danger of coming under the influence of false ego is very, very big. I don't want this body, my Lord. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, keep it. Do two things. Chant and tell everyone about me, about Krishna. Tell him about Krishna. And in this way you will be above Maya. It won't, this body will not pull you down. So this is one of the very, very nice leelas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which tell us how he is so kind to the fallen people, to the diseased people, and so on. We have hope. In Vaishnavism, the devotees say, my body is full of open wounds. I'm full of enviousness. I'm full of illusion. Now let us go to the great doctor, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I feel in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu we meet the perfect Lord and the perfect Sadhu, and he will prepare us to get the mercy from Krishna. Of course he will, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will also ask us, are you Are you worshipping the Vaishnavas? Very important or not. And Mahaprabhu's way, you just have to be Vaishnav Seva is very important. Very important. Krishna. Any other question? Nitai Goranga, Nitai Goranga, Nitai Goranga, Nitai. Gopunim is coming, Nityananda's appearance day is coming, so the cosmos dances, the Vaishnavas dance, the whole atmosphere dances. Everything is full of these names, Nitai Chaitanya, Nitai Goranga. I think when you put your antennas up, it's difficult to sleep if the whole atmosphere is full of this. Mandaleshwari. How can we understand? Oh, Krishna, how can we understand that if I'm surrendered or not? You have to check your heart. How much do you want to serve, or how much do you want to be served? This is what I would say. Thank you. Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Please forgive me for asking, Mahārāj. I did not understand. If I heard correctly, you said that we can't understand Krishna by hearing, just moving the mouth. So, please, if you can explain it.
In the Upanishads, there's one shloka which Prabhupada has often quoted, that the Supreme Lord cannot be understood by so many sadhanas, including much hearing. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's also a sloka that Krishna is very difficult, or Krishna Bhakti is difficult to obtain, not even after much sadhanas which are done without attachment. Sudulabha, it's very, very rare. So, when Jiva Goswami is dealing with this point, that he's not even by much sadhanas understood Krishna, you can really feel as you go through the purports one after the other that Jiva Goswami, he must feel, you know, the way he writes, that, oh my Lord, what will the devotees think when they hear this? What Rupa Goswami has written, that the Lord, that is so sudulabha, you know, bhakti is so sudulabha. So extremely rare, this Krishna bhakti. And then he quotes one verse, then Jiva Goswami says that there is one way to obtain Krishna. And and Jiva Goswami opens the door, you know, to understanding. And he quotes one verse, I believe it's 2:8:4 of the Bhagavatam, where it said one should regularly hear about Krishna. With three qualifications. The first is you must do it nityam, regularly. The second qualification is you must do it with faith. And the third qualification, now, Krishna, I'm happy that I remember, is this. You must do it with svacheshtitam, great endeavor. Then, when you hear Krishna Katha in these ways, regularly, with faith and with great endeavor, then the Lord becomes manifested in your heart. So it is, after saying it's so difficult, he says, do this. And the way I understand it is, you have to give your best. And you wait for the mercy of Krishna. Ultimately, bhakti is always a divine gift. It cannot be produced by your mind, by your intelligence, by your feelings. It's not something which you bring up. It's the Swarup City of the Lord, the internal energy of the Lord, which has to come from above. All the bhaktas, since time immemorial, have tried to give us tips how this rare bhakti can be gotten. And all what they do is, they give us tips to bring us to a certain level where we can stand to receive the mercy of Lord Krishna. But it will always be a mercy of Lord Krishna. We need to give our best endeavor to show Lord Krishna that we are really wanting to have this rare thing. But then it's up to him to give it. See, this is the difference between bhakti and all other movements. You really don't think, like in natural sciences, that you can control the Lord by anything you do. The Lord always is independent. And he is a conscious entity who sees the endeavors of his devotees, who's Bhakta Vatsala, very merciful. There's only one prize, intense desire to get it. What I wanted to say with my statement about moving in the modes of material nature is I'm very, very suspicious, and become more suspicious as I grow older, of premature transcendentalists. Premature transcendentalists who, by some mental adjustment, imagine themselves to be very advanced and whatever, and they are only moving up in the modes of material nature, maybe a little bit more sattvic, maybe a little bit more rajasic, or a little bit more tamasic. It's like the psychological self-help movements, who, yes, give us help, but still within the modes of material nature, where we are under the influences of the waves. So, Krishna, I think we now feel that time is also there. I hope I was able to make some inspiring points. But see, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, to your last question, that those who want to get bhakti, they will go to the devotees when they have festivals of the holy name. And he says, they go like this, like poor beggars who go to rich grihasthas to eat. When I was living in Goloka Dham, Goloka Dham is in Germany, And on the project in the Abenteuer, there are many rich Grihasten, not so rich, but normally rich. And I would always be very hungry. When I would feel hungry, I would go to one of these stores. Do you have something? And they have all the refrigerators and everywhere full with everything. And of course, come in. What do you want? We have everything. So when devotees have festivals of the holy name, their heart is usually very full. So then we go to these festivals and we beg for Krishna Bhakti, and sometimes it is given. Especially we go to Nityananda's festivals. Nityananda is a drunkard. And a drunkard will not, he's drunken with love of God. He even gives it to Jagai and Madai. Ooh. Yes. It's explained that a drunkard does not distinguish between who is qualified and who is not qualified. You may go to a drunkard and ask him for 100 euros, and he says, only 100, take 200 here. Because he is not discriminating. So this is usually said about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he doesn't discriminate. So Lord Nityananda is also a little like that. I mean, it's more like that. He's drunken. The avaduta. Prem data go nitai. Oops. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit tired still. So we should all go to bed. Huh? Not all, but some of us. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yes, please. How to do this?
Just like...